Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Hope your Friday is going well. The weekend is almost here, but we'd love it if you hung with us for a little while longer. Ben Verlander going to talk some Major League Baseball and trade deadline coming up within the next 20 to 30 minutes or so. Mike Harmon is murdering the Chicago Cubs on Twitter. You can find him at Swollen Dome. As a Southsider. Well, I mean, Southsider, Mike, how nice is this day for you as the Cubs are getting rid of everyone? And even some of those bodies are just heading to the south side of town.
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously you get Kimbrel to come over to the south side. Madrigal's a guy that you like, doesn't really have a role now in for the Sox, so he gets shipped out for the Cub fans, and I know folks that work there. Old buddy Cole Wright been going back and forth with him because he's done some fantastic, what I guess you would call exit interviews, one that went viral with Anthony Rizzo yesterday as he was the first of the players to be jettisoned from the Cubs roster. It's just that all that promise, all of the expectations, you know, whenever we start throwing, wow, it looks like this could be a dynastic run. Always to remember that that usually doesn't happen, no matter how all the stars aligned for that short period, right? Because with the Cubs, it was everything. There was a little bit of money spent, but a lot of guys that came up through the organization, which meant the scouting department was point and dead solid perfect for a couple of years. For Rizzo, he'd gone through so much from his beginnings to come to Chicago and become one of those guys, the face of a franchise. You go all the way through that. You only got one title out of it. Now, it ended the run, and it kind of killed some of that mystique of the lovable losers, but now it's gone. All of those guys have, you know, been Thanos'd away. Snap of the finger, and they're all gone. It's like everybody on the Nationals roster, but that's another time.
Yeah.
As a wistful, Dave Martinez looks around going, I don't know who any of these people are. But in Chicago, I know it's tough. I got a lot of friends that are texting me, you know, with stuff I can't say on air, just upset that they threw up the flag. And no, not the one with the W that they do after every home win. No, this is a big deal. Yeah, it's a giant L for the squad because you got your one and now you realize where you are and finances. The Ricketts are a whole other story. We could do a podcast series on them another time. But all those guys that have been the faces of your franchise and this renaissance are all gone.
Your point about the Cubs thinking that this was going to be a long run, I mean, especially in this day and age, you know, when you're competing against teams like the Dodgers who just buy championships, it's tough to do. I purposely did that for John Ramos. That was just a perfect. I don't even mean it, and I was just kidding. See, that's John's laugh of like, all right. I really don't think it was that funny, but I am going to play along because it's a radio show. I really didn't appreciate. Just kidding, John. Just kidding. But Mike, if you would have told Cub fans 10 years ago of this scenario, they would have had to have taken it.
Sure. No, that's the thing, right? Yeah. And for anybody that criticizes how the Marlins have done their business, whatever, give me those World Series titles. I'll take the misery that goes along with it. Hell, I'm a Sox fan. I got 2005. I got a lot of nice prospects. I got to watch a lot of Frank Thomas live and in living color, you know, our colleague at Fox, and a number of big plays and Mark Burley and all that. I got one title. It's over those now hated Astros, so you know we have a kindred thing, right?
League rival,
right?
Now.
Right, Johnny? Yeah, exactly. But yeah, for Cub fans, yeah, if you'd said we're going to be competitive and we're actually going to get one, even with the Bartman thing thrown in before that, that you were able to turn it around and have this run, I think you have to take it. And for those just wondering, if you're not on Twitter over at Swollen Dome, I tweeted the old line that folks throw up. And this might make you throw up. Don't be sad it's over. Be glad it happened. Okay, I tried, Cubs fans. And then there was a great gif of all the relievers dancing in the bullpen. So, yeah.
Now knowing what I know now, I really wish they would have blown Game 7 in Cleveland in 2016. Because could you imagine how long this curse would have been going on if they would have ended up losing that game, the Tribe would have gotten one more run in the eighth and ninth innings, and wouldn't have needed to go to extras. But as you said, Cubs are broken up, and maybe the Cub fans are broken up about it. Jumping back to the NBA draft, you gave it a B+. I gave it a B. I gave it a B for the simple fact of this, Mike, is I like that there were three or four picks of guys that we think could be, I don't want to say franchise changers. I think Cade Cunningham is. I actually think that Evan Mobley could be quite the pick for the Cleveland Cavaliers. But there were three or four guys that we really liked in this draft, and we recognized their names, and we feel that they could make an impact in the NBA. Now, for the last 20 to maybe 25 years, we've had this same argument. What's wrong with the NBA draft? Why isn't it like it used to be? And so I'm one of those guys, Mike, and I decided I remember the drafts of 1992, 1993, 1994, just some great drafts that I can remember in my youth. And I remember being excited about those drafts for a variety of reasons.
Jim Jackson in 92, yeah. So yeah.
Fourth overall to the Mavericks after Shaq, Alonzo Mourning, and Christian Laettner. By the way, that was my answering machine message for a while when I was growing up, was the Jim Jackson announcement, David Stern announcing that he was going to the Dallas Mavericks. When you would call my house, you would hear that announcement. But I loved the NBA draft. Obviously, I was a big Jim Jackson fan. And I have great memories of it. And now when you look at this NBA draft, Mike, I think we've tried to figure out what's wrong with the NBA draft over the last 20 years. And we point to a couple of things. The college game changing with the one and done has been a big part. I've also heard we don't know the guys who are coming over from Europe. We don't know those talents that have played in Spain or France. We're not familiar with those players that are coming from overseas, so therefore that we can't get excited about it. And I understand those arguments. I just don't believe those arguments. I'm just going to put the blame solely on the NBA. And the NBA itself, I'm not blaming college basketball. I'm not blaming the one and dones. I'm not going to say that we don't know the players because they're coming from different countries. I think all that's garbage. Like, we love Luka Doncic now. We love Giannis Antetokounmpo. Granted, we don't know a lot about him. It's not the reason why. It's the same reason why the NBA is where it is. The only thing we care about is stars. And the only thing that we really care about are the top couple of teams in each league. And that's where I think, like, last night was such a perfect microcosm of what's wrong. The biggest story on what is supposed to be one of the biggest nights of the season for the NBA was nothing about the players coming to the league. It was about a player that some people may think is washed up or can't help a team win, and that is Russell Westbrook. The star players and then what it means for LeBron was the real dominating headlines. And I just think that the way that the NBA is, the way that it's consumed, doesn't allow us to like the draft like we used to 20, 25 years ago.
No, I think there's a lot to unpack to it. And I think, you know, as you and I have talked in these spots before, Dan, I think the name, image, and likeness thing, you know, for folks that don't like the one and dones, well, that's going to change because a lot of guys are going to realize I can stay. That doesn't mean you're not still going to have a number of guys at the top of the draft that do that route or take one of these G League deals or whatever. But we saw how many guys withdrew from this year's draft, realizing, hey, if I ain't guaranteed a slot in that first round, I'm going to go make money in college and keep my eligibility and do that for another year. So I think the college game and our NCAA tournament loving will give us a little bit of love there. I have always wondered why there haven't been pre-draft specials, because we get like 900,000 of them for football. Why those sure. aren't well publicized, where we, you know, have the sit downs, you know, even
you
the Tom
why.
Rinaldi kind of violin playing in the background to get us excited.
I'll give you the answer why. Because the draft is 8 days after the NBA Finals ends, and so the broadcast partner who has it would be ESPN is so NBA Finals crazed that they don't even take the week to lead up to it to promote it. Like the
but they appropriately allocate their. Never mind.
the era that I'm talking about, that where we look back at the NBA draft, and maybe it's because we're similar age, Mike, but I think those drafts in the early to mid 90s were magnificent. I mean, in 94, you had Glenn Robinson, Jason Kidd, and Grant Hill go 1-2-3. I mentioned in 92, you had Shaq, Alonzo Mourning, Christian Laettner go 1-2-3. And then you would go maybe a little further down in the lottery, and there'd be some other names. And I look last night, you had Cade Cunningham, you had Evan Mobley. I'll put Jalen Green, although I don't think there was as much hype about Jalen Green because of the G League. You had Jalen Suggs, who was just coming off of a magnificent NCAA tournament. So there were four names there that you could really get excited about, but that's not how we consume the NBA anymore, because the NBA is just all about proven stars, and it's all about the top teams. And even in the 1990s, when the Bulls were dominating, we were still interested in those other places. Maybe teams back then had less of a chance to win a title because of who the Bulls were than, you know, who's winning titles now, whether it be the Bucks or the Raptors. It's just the point of it's become such a superstar driven league, and it's we don't care about the teams anymore. We don't even know the divisions anymore, because all we care about is conference seeding, if it even comes to that. It's just we consume it differently. So it has nothing to do with the one and dones. Well, maybe a little. It maybe has a little to do with not understanding the players who come over from a different country, or maybe play in the G League Unite. But it's really, I think, on how we consume the NBA and how we look at the NBA, where Russell Westbrook's trade to the Lakers last night completely overshadowed the entire night. That's the problem with the NBA draft.
Well, yeah, I think it's the NBA, and a point you made there, Dan, of the we come into training camps and exhibition games in those first months of the season. I mean, how many years now can you remember the joke of they shouldn't play till Christmas? Right.
Yeah.
So if the schedule has to be moved, yeah, this is perfect, right? People liked it going to 72 games or less. Look, man, everybody wants to get paid and get their bag. It's going back to 82. You're going to have to like it. Okay, and the players are going to have to deal with that as well. A load management or whatever mechanism has to happen. But we know from day one, what we could take the whiteboard in our Fox Sports Radio studios and write down, what, six teams? And that's most years in the last decade being generous to get to six, right? Normally it was, I mean, for several years it was just Warriors, Cavs. Okay, you got to give me someone who they're going to play in the conference finals. Go. Right? I mean, that's where we got with our NBA coverage. And it didn't mean that in the individual markets you didn't love it. And on the national television side, you didn't sit and watch and marvel at some of these guys. But you knew in the end they were regular season heroes. They weren't going to matter once April came around. And so I think that's the big impact here. To your point about trades and everything else, yeah, rumored trades and what didn't happen. Right, the Ben Simmons story was second to the Westbrook trade. Why didn't Ben Simmons get traded? And we talked about it at the outset. Why didn't the Warriors go all in and find their next guy or make the trade for Simmons? That ends up dwarfing everything.
Yep.
In terms of storylines, and it takes nothing away from Cunningham. Takes nothing away from the Terrence Clark moment. That if you didn't at least get a little bit dusty, you have no soul. But big moments like that, still huge, and it was still a great event. But, yeah, I'm always trying to prop it up, man. Look, it's not going to be the Major League Baseball where it just goes on the bottom scroll. It's not going to be the NFL, but I'm always trying to make it bigger, faster, and stronger.
I'll say this, and I'll compare it to the NFL. One of the things that we've seen in the NFL, especially specifically when it comes to quarterbacks, are teams – trying to take some college concepts for their young quarterbacks and bringing them to the NFL. When we want to talk about names in college basketball that we know, and, I don't know this guy, I don't know that guy, we all knew Luka Garza. We knew Luka Garza, and we knew what he did at Iowa, and we knew what he did in college basketball. It's one of the bigger names in college basketball. To have him not fit into the today's NBA and go to this 52nd pick overall in the second round to the Pistons. Like, that's a storyline in the NFL, Mike, that we would be following. That's a guy that's falling in the draft like a quarterback would be. But last night, it's just kind of an afterthought. And then you talk about how the college game connects to the NBA. In football, they're mending. And it doesn't seem like that's the case when it comes to basketball. It just doesn't. It doesn't seem like the NBA and college basketball are coming together, and I think that's another problem. He's
well,
Mike Harmon.
One last thing,
okay,
Dan.
Go ahead.
And I got to give you the note from Ralph, because he goes, "Remember this year's draft?" He goes, "Rodgers." I go, "Yeah, Rodgers and Wilson overshadowed what was a pretty good NFL draft as well. So it leached into the other sports this year."
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Beyer. This is the Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Coming up next, your fantasy dilemmas have finally been answered. That's here on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Going to talk some baseball and trade deadline in about 10 minutes or so. Ben Verlander, Fox Sports, joining us here on Fox Sports Radio. He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Beyer. It is the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. As we are sitting in for Doug today, we'll get an update on those trades from Ralph Ervin in just a few minutes. But Mike, it's time to play Mortal Kombat when it comes to fantasy football. Yes.
Sweet.
I am going to give you two guys, two players at the same position. I want you to break them down, analyze, and then at the end, when you're about to make the decision, you will hear this.
Finish him.
And you could give us our pick and who you like in this Mortal Kombat fantasy football showdown. All right?
All right, let's get it on.
Let's start with the quarterback position. Young versus old in who you should take for your fantasy team. Eagles quarterback Jalen Hurts against Buccaneers quarterback Tom Brady.
Ooh, I love it. One presumes that no trade is made to take his job. The other presumes that Father Time or the Grim Reaper or whatever metaphor you want to use doesn't swoop in week six. So, that being said, Jalen Hurts to me is interesting, right? Retooled team. Devontae Smith is going to be their featured guy. Still probably some movement. I'd be surprised if Zach Ertz is still there. Why? Because we love Dallas Goedert. Miles Sanders, expect better things from him. And I would hope that they get past the injury bug that killed, absolutely decimated that offensive line a year ago. That said, give me the old guy. I know what I got in the receivers. I know that he's not even going to try to run unless it's just diving through that little crease for a touchdown. And, you know, the 1-1-1 stat line.
Sure.
So, yeah.
Hold
so
on
it,
a sec.
It's fun. Yeah.
Hold on a sec. Your final answer?
Finish him.
Yeah, even though Hurts is ranked higher on average, give me Brady.
All right, Brady. By the way, Brady also would play the Panthers and Jets in the playoffs in week 16 and 17, something that I always look at. Let's go to the running back position. Teammates in Detroit, would you rather have Jamal Williams or DeAndre Swift?
The wishing, wanting, hoping versus, well, he's always been the third option. As you flow. I do like that you've got Dan Campbell doing up-downs with the squad. Is that a reason to pick anybody? Can I say punt,
no.
Dan?
No.
No. Look, it's Swift, probably your better option as a receiver and a safety valve for Jared Goff going forward as they retool this offense. We do know that Anthony Lynn likes to run the ball. So we'll just have to figure out who has it on first down, Dan.
In the end,
finish him.
Give me Jamal Williams. Let other people overpay for Swift. Come back a few rounds later. Grab Williams. I think that's the win.
What about this running back showdown? Miles Gaskin of the Dolphins or the Raiders, Josh Jacobs?
Insert Raiders second half jokes here. No, go look at Gruden's stuff. It's true. Positively true. And as much as they could say last year they were close to being a 12-win team, they were really close to being a 5-win team or 4-win team as well. Sorry to our friends in the building talking about these things. Jacobs over 1,000 yards, solid offensive line play, and burners for days on the outside with Waller sweeping things across the middle. So big play potential for Jacobs. As you look at Gaskin again, it gets into depth opportunities and Tua Tagovailoa expecting his growth. Dolphins, we talk about them as one of the best rosters top to bottom. So
finish him.
Give me Jacobs in the slight edge.
I would
rank him mid RB2 ahead of Swift.
That was my fault there. I should have given the cue for our guy. Finally, we're going to wrap up with this wide receiver showdown. I do think that it's maybe it's not as close as we think. Adam Thielen against Odell Beckham Jr.
Thielen and Captain Kirk getting it done. Odell Beckham Jr. coming back into the fray. Still trying to get him into the regular practice mode. I know he's been off on the side doing things thus far. I argued going into last year, Jarvis Landry was the number one. And now you look at Thielen, target count high. Jefferson arrives. There's all sorts of excitement, but tempered a bit because, well, Aaron Rodgers came back to town. So all the excitement you had for about a week on Minnesota kind of lessened.
Finish him.
I think the gap is wider than your ADPs because right now Thielen is just three or four slots ahead of Odell Beckham Jr. Give me Thielen, the targets, the opportunities. Look, Jefferson might have all of the more of the glory plays going forward, but Thielen is as steady and reliable as they go. In tribute to the now late Ron Popeil, set it and forget it, baby. Give me Adam Thielen.
There it is, your Mortal Kombat fantasy football decisions that you have to make. A job well done. And again, great job, Mike Harmon. Great job, John Ramos. It is Fox Sports Radio. Joining us now, covering Major League Baseball for Fox Sports, friend of the program, Ben Verlander joins us here on Fox Sports Radio. Hey, Ben, happy trade deadline day. How are you?
I'm great. A little overwhelmed, but I'm great.
Yeah, let's get into this. There are a lot of different places that we can go, but we had just got passed along some notes about Trevor Story and the Colorado Rockies. So with all the deals going on, let's talk about the one that didn't get done. Story saying today, quote, "I'm confused and I don't really have anything good to say about the situation and how it unfolded." What are your thoughts about Trevor Story not being dealt by the Rockies?
Yeah, kind of exactly that. I'm shocked. You know, he's a good baseball player. He's a great shortstop, and you're not going to win this year. He's not going to re-sign with you. So what you're looking at is the only thing you're going to get out of Trevor Story now is a comp pick in the next draft. So a pick in, you know, the low to mid 30s range. And we saw it today. It was a seller's market. You know, if you wanted to get players, if you want to win right now, the prospects were available, and the prospects that you had to give up were huge. So you can't sit there and tell me that, yeah, the best we could get was the comp pick anyway, so we're not going to get rid of them. I was shocked. If there was one player before all of this came down that I said was for sure going to get traded, I would have said Trevor Story. And it's frustrating. I know he's frustrated. I know Rockies fans have to be frustrating. It's just, what are they doing over there? I don't know how you don't move him and at least get a few good prospects in return. And that was clearly on the table based off of what everybody else was getting in return.
Well, at least it's consistent because we've been asking the same question for a long time with the Rockies. What are they doing over there? Staying in the division, though, the Dodgers, never ones to rest on their laurels. They get rid of four prospects, and they smile at the Giants and the Padres while welcoming Max Scherzer and Trey Turner to the table. Rich get richer. Dave Roberts probably breathing a sigh of relief given some of the blows to the rotation the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I don't know how that call goes. I don't know how you just call up the Nats and say, hey, we want Max Scherzer and we want Trey Turner. Can you do that for us? And they're just like, yes. I mean, it's absolutely incredible. They got one of the best pitchers in the league, one of the best shortstops in the league. You got to think the Dodgers won the trade deadline in terms of a contender going out and getting pieces. Obviously, the Nats did really well on their end. I do think that trade accomplished what both sides wanted to. The Dodgers had to give up a lot to get those guys. I mean a lot. Kiefer Ruiz is great. Josiah Gray, those are both huge prospects that are big league ready, and two other prospects. So, but look, right, they wanted to go out and get the guys to win right now, and I don't think anybody went out and did it better than what the Dodgers did, in my opinion.
Ben Verlander, Fox Sports, MLB analyst, joining us here on Fox Sports Radio. He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Byer, sitting in for Doug Gottlieb on the Doug Gottlieb Show. We had talked earlier in the show, Ben, on just kind of how the Scherzer story went down, because we had the report earlier yesterday that the Padres were closing in on a deal for Scherzer. And then a few hours later, he's on his way to L.A. I thought maybe the Nationals kind of did Ken Rosenthal dirty in leaking that they had a deal to try to get more out there. Talking to our guys here, something that maybe Scherzer said, I'm not big on it. How do you think that whole situation ended up unfolding that ended up having Scherzer going to San Diego maybe 1 minute and then L.A. the next minute?
I totally agree with you. I definitely think there's some stuff that goes on behind the scenes that we don't really hear much about. But I definitely think there's some plays where they feed somebody something and put it out there. And then, now so-and-so needs to give up more. Maybe the top prospects weren't part of the deal with the Dodgers originally. And maybe they wanted those guys. So they feed this story. And next thing you know, you're hearing the deal with Max Scherzer to the Padres is basically official. Stuff like that for sure goes on. I don't know whether you consider it clean or dirty in that world, but look, they're playing chess. The Nationals sure got what they wanted out of it. And when the tweet when it was finally official that Max was going to the Dodgers, I tweeted out, "Padres legend Max Scherzer is officially going to the Dodgers."
See if he's commemorated with a trading card for that moment in the Twitter sphere. Yeah. Ben, the Yankees, we talked about it the beginning of the week, wondering how active they would be. Obvious missing the big boppers from the left side of the plate, but they go and get Gallo and bring in Anthony Rizzo, who's going to look really weird in the other pinstripes, I guess, as a guy that's, you know, Chicago, where my head is, White Sox, of course, over the Cubs. But is that enough to get them over? Because nobody sat on their hands in that division.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting in my opinion. I think those two guys, Gallo and Rizzo, are great additions for that lineup. I think with what the Yankees needed offensively, those guys are great. And I saw a bunch of people saying, well, Gallo just strikes out a ton. It's just more of the same. Look, Gallo is one of the best on-base percentage guys in the league. He walks a ton. Rizzo's a guy that walks a ton. He gets hit a ton because he's basically standing on home plate. They're good on-base percentage guys. For that lineup, I love it. But I can't sit here and say the Yankees had an incredible trade deadline, because I feel like they didn't address a glaring issue, and it's that pitching. And it's, you know, you don't feel comfortable with that team going into the eighth inning with a 5-run lead right now. And I think they really needed to add something on the pitching side, and they just didn't do that. But in terms of offense and adding the two guys that they did, I love those additions to the lineup.
Ben Verlander joining us here on Fox Sports Radio. I know how we're talking about it now because they are being broken up, but on the heels of the Cubs being moved out of town, the various Cubs being moved out of town, 10 years from now, how do you think we'll look back at that core of Cubs that was basically broken up officially today?
Well, it was legendary, for lack of a better word. I mean, they got over the curse. They're you know, three guys that you look at and they're just so charismatic, and they seem to be great guys, and they're fun to watch. And it's a tough day as a Cubs fan, I would imagine, and just even as a fan of baseball, to see them broken up. We're going to look back at those guys and remember them as Chicago Cubs, and remember them as guys that got the Cubs over the hump and did it for the city of Chicago, and did it in such an awesome and fun way. And to see how they were broken up, I totally get teams going through rebuilds, and I think what we're seeing more and more is just, you know, owners just viewing players as numbers on a piece of paper, and okay, these guys can do this. This is what I can get in return. And we're seeing less of owners and GMs caring about the fans and about the players themselves. You know, I saw Rizzo say, I don't care if we have to go through tough times. I want to go through those tough times with the Cubs. I want to go through it all with the Cubs. And basically they were just like, no. We're going to try and get something for you. And I truly believe the fans of the Cubs deserve better than what happened today, because this was tough to watch as just a fan of baseball. much less somebody that grew up a Cubs fan and grew up watching these guys and growing up seeing the struggles and then finally getting this core of guys to win you a championship. This has to be tough.
Well, and I got friends, Ben, with all those cool new jerseys that they put out, right? The city issue stuff that never actually got to wear those to a game, just got them in the mail in the last week. They're a bit salty.
Those Wrigleyville jerseys, they those things grew on me for sure, but rightfully so. You know, these things just come out. Who are the three people when you think of the Cubs that you want to buy a jersey of?
Right.
By Rizzo and Bryant. So 90%+ of those jerseys have to be those guys, and now they're all like, well, what do we do with these?
See if you have one of those refund kind of deals. Like, hey, this guy got dealt. I want my cash back. Give me a player to be named later, or go back and get yourself a Mark Grace or something. That never changed. NL West, last one from me. The Giants do pick up Chris Bryant, currently three games ahead of said Dodgers. Padres at 5.5 back, added a little bit to the bullpen. Still all teams representing in the playoffs when it's all said and done?
Yeah, I have all three of those teams in the playoffs when all is said and done. I was really disappointed in the Giants until they finally added Chris Bryant there at the end. I mean, look, you can say, well, we didn't really expect to compete as we are this year and be that good this year. You know, we have this core that we believe is going to be good for a long time. You know who's also going to be good for a long time is the Dodgers and the Padres. And I don't know how many years you're going to have where you can be three games up in the division come, end of July and really go for it. So I was a little disappointed. And then they finally go out and make that big move. They didn't have to give up Joey Bart to do it, who's their top prospect and going to be a stud. I love what they did. I love the NL West. I love what the entire NL West has done. They're all going for it. And I think it's really good for baseball to see it, and I'm excited to watch this down the stretch. But, yeah, I have all three of those guys making the playoffs.
Fox Sports Major League Baseball analyst Ben Verlander. That's where you can find him on Twitter as well, at Ben Verlander. Thanks, Ben, so much for the time. We'll talk to you again soon, man.
Of course. Thanks again for having me. Always appreciate it.
See you, Ben.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Beyer. This is the Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. It was a day of trades in Major League Baseball, but there's also a big NFL story. We'll fill you in on what that is next year on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Beyer, sitting in for Doug Gottlieb today. Weekend is almost here, but it's not going to get here until Ralph Ervin gives us all of the headlines of the day in a segment we like to call
The Press.
All right, Ralph, let's go out on a high note.
Well, unfortunately, our first story will definitely not do that, as Aaron Bain's Olympic journey has come to an end. After slipping in the bathroom and sustaining a neck injury.
Roger that.
He did suffer an injury in their game on court, and then he had a slip in the bathroom, suffering further injury.
With a groin injury.
Yes, it was. It was not a groin injury. Australian team doctor David Hughes says it's become apparent to the medical staff that this is a bit more serious than just an average injury.
Wow. Honestly, if you're going to slip in the shower, I figure the injury would be more down under than it would be for your neck.
Hey now.
He's already from down under, so it's upside down there.
Yeah. That was the joke, Ralph. Don't worry. You don't need to explain it.
Sorry.
It's all good. That's okay. Don't worry about it.
Hey, I'm getting up.
Okay. Oh, Lou Holtz wants to chime in. Sorry, guys.
Step aside.
Let's hear from Coach Lou Holtz on the Aaron Baines Olympic shower injury.
Hey, I tell you, I'm getting upset about this thing. I mean it sincerely.
Okay. Coach Lou's pretty ticked about it. How do you hurt your neck in the shower?
Well, I think he went all the way to the ground and hit his head. I'm gonna guess.
Wow.
I don't know.
That's tough, man.
He's one of six NBA players on the Boomers roster and the only big man on the team who plays in the NBA. He had 17 points and 7 rebounds in 14 minutes before he was injured in their last game against Italy.
The good thing about my shower is if I slipped and fell, the soap scum that I can't get off the walls would hopefully soften my fall.
It might grab you.
My goodness. Gosh, that stuff's tough to get off.
Crazy at a whole other level, I'll tell you.
Huh?
Okay.
Wait, I mean, Ashton Kutcher and Mila Kunis really, you know, just revealed that they don't hate their kids.
Yeah.
So you got that going for you. That's how you avoid injuries in the shower.
That might be an Olympic strategy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, the big story in college football has been Oklahoma and Texas going to the SEC. And if we want the best analysis, who else are we going to go to but the old ball coach who had this to say about Texas? And no, I'm not going to put on an accent, but you can imagine it as I say, I can understand Texas jumping over. They get to play Texas A&M again. They can't win the Big 12 anyway. I think they've only won two in the last 30 years or so. So I can see Texas jumping over, more money, playing A&M, this and that and the other.
It's over, Johnny.
That's Spurrier, but I don't care about Spurrier. I want to hear from another old college football coach. What does Lou Holtz have to say about Texas and Oklahoma leaving for the SEC?
Hey, I tell you, I'm getting upset about this thing. I mean it sincerely because you don't listen. All you're thinking about is we have 8 more months to basketball season.
No, it's a good point. You can't deny it. Yeah, you can't deny it at all.
Well, I mean, it is 8 months of basketball.
It is.
But meanwhile, Spurrier wasn't done. He did say about Oklahoma, they're the champion of the Big 12. I mean, they win it almost every year. They've won, 4 or 5 in a row, something like that. I just don't think they're going to come over to the SEC and win with any regularity the way they won in the Big 12. Their fans, they may say, yeah, we know we can beat Alabama and LSU and all these dudes. It may not happen like that.
Man, right now, Clowney's got a bruised shoulder.
He sure does.
Oh, man. Great timing, Johnny. Spurrier, you knew would have something to say.
Oh, absolutely.
All right, Ralph, what else you got?
Well, Oklahoma City added to its stockpile of future first-round picks as the Jazz traded a future number one and center Derek Favors to the Thunder for a 2027 second-round pick. That was announced today.
Okay.
So to get rid of Derek Favors, they actually gave up a number one pick.
For instant trade analysis, let's go to former Notre Dame head coach Lou Holtz.
He still can't play quarterback. He still can't play quarterback.
Nope.
Oh, that's not Lou Holtz. Sure didn't sound like him. That's for sure. What? We didn't pay Lou Holtz to talk NBA?
No, you only got two.
I'm sure.
He gave you two responses. That's all the questions you get.
I'm sure his analysis of Favors is that he puts his pants on the same way we do.
Well, that's right. I mean, you know, to be fair, I mean, one of the details in the Scherzer deal with the Dodgers is they get to do a Bobby Bonilla with him. The 11.8 they're picking up for this year gets paid out in 2028.
Okay.
Anything else, Coach Holtz?
No. Hey, I tell you, I'm getting upset about this thing. I mean it sincerely because you don't listen. All you're thinking about is we have 8 more months to basketball.
Still on the basketball thing. Jeez,
obsessed.
Holtz.
The draft was last night. We moved on.
Well, he's saying you don't listen.
Damn.
Okay, Florida Evans, you stay out of this. All right, Ralph, anything else?
No wonder James left.
Whoa. Geez. Wow. That is not good times, Ralph.
Here. Can I add something to this? This will wrap up the press. It's crazy, but in the show, James was only like 7 years older than JJ. Yet he played his dad. They are of similar ages, but John Amos played James Evans so well that you actually thought that he was 20 years older than
JJ. How about
JJ?
That? How about JJ Walker?
Impressed. That was the press.
Oh, man.
JJ Walker is going to be in this new King Richard movie.
Oh, I didn't even know about it.
How about that?
I love me some good times, absolutely. But again, all the episodes stunk once once James left. Oh man, Lou Holtz, any final thoughts?
Okay. Yeah, apparently not. Apparently not. Okay. He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Beyer. This has been the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. Have a great weekend.